views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Paramania, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
Standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed. And if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, well, you're going the wrong way. Well, you've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. Helping hand instead of doubt, and the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've got to try a little kindness, just show a little kindness, just shine your light for everyone to see.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and what a beautiful morning it is. And it's even especially beautiful this morning because the great, lovely Gillian Aslam is back in England. Hello, Jill.
Oh, hi, Alan. Well, yeah. It's so good to be back, honestly, especially when you come back to good weather.
Yes.
It makes such a difference. Yeah. When I come back in January, it's like, oh, no, I don't want to come back.
But you had a good break, though. You had a good holiday. That's the main.
Yes,
thing.
It was excellent, Alan. But you know, beach is a beach, and yes. Sand is everywhere. But yeah, it was very relaxing, and it was very nice, and it was nice to just rest a little bit and get back.
I think we all need to do that, don't we? But I know you, Jill. I mean, you were still doing some work, weren't you?
It's impossible to completely cut off. I know people say, you know, leave your BlackBerry at home and leave your phone at home and don't switch on and, you know, all of that. But honestly, Alan, I don't believe in that. I believe that you don't have to do as much, but you've got to keep that brain moving
I'm the same. You tell me off. You're the one. You tell me off, don't you?
I do tell you off, but I also know that you won't switch off. That if I send you a message, don't reply.
I always do.
And you always do, yeah.
Sorry, I was interrupting.
No, that's fine. But it's important, Alan. Even, you know, from a neurological perspective, it's important to keep the brain going. It's very, very important.
Yeah. So we've got lots of things going on, haven't we, Jill? And the reason for the reason for our guest. I mean, Bishop David Parry is always welcome, but we've got a particular reason this morning for inviting David on. And I will be on with David at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock with Sunday Morning Spiritual. But he's kindly got up a little bit earlier to come on to talk about something very special, Jill. I'll let you say what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Alan, this whole thing has, in my opinion, taken on a life of its own.
Yeah.
It's amazing that I can't believe that, you know, we are interviewing another guest about their story. But ironically, it's my story. You know, we had Cyrus and Neil on a few months ago.
Yes.
To talk about the movie, Indian English, the movie. And now, today we are going to have David on to talk about the stage show, which is so exciting. And I want to know more. And I want our listeners to actually know more and the difference between a stage show and an actual, you know, film production. I also want them to know why a stage show is so important before a movie, you know, and all of those answers. But I guess the only person qualified to tell us more on the subject is David, because, you know, he has being the director and all of that. It's going to be so exciting. I can't wait. I was telling him when, after the meeting, you had left and I was walking with him to the station. And I said to him, you know, David, I just can't see the other side of you. Are you very difficult as a director? Are you easy? You know, and he was like, I'm very difficult.
Impossible.
I sit there and I say, no. And oh my gosh, I can't wait to see you do that, because like when I meet you, you don't appear to be like that, you know. So it was very exciting, Alan, and I'm so glad that we're all one team and that we're going to make this happen. And, you know, for the whole world, for all the little kids and for everybody, and talking to Marek was just incredible as well, because he said, you know, when we gave him the idea of Cyrus, and Cyrus talking about holding a contest to find the Jillians and Vanessas, the two Jillians and two Vanessas, and of course the main actress will play me. But when I said that to Marek, he said, oh, you know, when the book is out in Russia and things like that, we'll actually have a contest as well, so that way we'll get people there, and it's a great marketing tool and it's a great sales tool, and there's going to be so much excitement. I can't wait for all of this to happen, really, and, you know, share it with the little ones in India and all over the world, really.
Well, you see, David, the people that he knows is quite remarkable. You know, his career, his adult life has led him to many places in the world, yet it seems to focus on, shall we say, Central Asia, Europe, and beyond. And it, as I just said, his contacts, and they're not just contacts, they're friends. David has this way of getting people to become a good friend for the right reasons, and and he's very highly respected. And he's at the beginning of September. David will obviously tell us, but I can't remember which country it is, but he's going to be made into a professor.
He was telling me. That's great.
And, you don't get that kind of accolade without doing something right, do you?
Besides all of that, Alan, you know, besides all of that, he is just such a humble individual. And so ready to help, so down to earth, and such a, like I was telling you yesterday when we chatted, that he's one person that, you know, from day one you can just trust.
You
get that feeling from him. You do.
He's one of the kind souls of the world. But just because you're a kind soul doesn't mean to say that
you're a weak soul.
That's right. See, there's a difference. A lot of people think that if you're kind, you're weak. And
I knew you were going to say that.
It isn't true.
Yes, I know. No, absolutely, Alan. No, but that's great with David. You know, he knows when to put the plug in and when to pull it out. That's absolutely amazing. He's got that capability. But, you know, Alan, before we get him on, and I know we have just 5 minutes or so to get him on, before we do that, I wanted to wish three very important people for their birthdays that have gone by, and these are belated birthday wishes, but they're for three very, very important people. And one is for a lady called, Mrs. Joan Goodall. And Alan, she was one of our matrons, of course, in the boys' school. But I think this is so important on this program today because of, you know, what we're going to do with David and Cyrus and all of that. But even though she was a matron in the boys' school, she was one of my mom's best friends. One of my mom's best friends. And she did a lot for my mom. And she's an exceptionally kind individual, a real jewel. And, you know, I have so many memories and such fond memories of everything that she did for my mom and my mom did for her and the way they chatted and, you know, all of that. And she celebrated her birthday recently, and I definitely want to wish her a very, very, very special happy birthday, not just from me, but from all the girls and boys from our school and everyone who ever knew her. And for all of us who will remain grateful to her for our entire lives. So that the song is especially for her. And it's also for a lady called Patsy Ankinsaria. And she's actually a member of our AGIT team. And she's done a fascinating job along with the team head who, you know, you probably know as Auntie Adeline.
Yeah.
They work so hard, Alan, with the children and mainly with the aged. And they give everything they have. So obviously Patsy is very special to us as well. And Kathleen O'Brien is, again, also a member of our AGIT team, but another team. And she's just been with us since time indefinite. You know, she's got a heart of gold. She gives her all. She's just a different individual. So loyal, so lovely. And honestly, Alan has become one of my closest and best friends and will remain that way.
Well,
so for all three of them, we want to play this. Sorry, Alan?
No, I'm saying Kathleen is a friend of mine on Facebook.
Ooh,
so
that's lovely. That's really nice.
Happy birthday to you, Kathleen. Yeah, and I do get the see the posts and everything, so that's absolutely lovely. That's brilliant.
Well, thank you, Alan. So let's play that number, Isn't She Lovely, but I think all of them are just lovely.
That's brilliant. Okay, and while we're playing, I'll see if I can get David. I know he's about. I've seen him pop up on Skype, so hopefully we'll be connected by the time we come back.
Yes, sure. Okay.
it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, twitch, update it, name it, read it.
If you want to learn about how paranormal investigators use technology, what we use, and how it works, then check out Tech Time with Brock and Doc every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
And welcome back. And yes, we have Bishop David Parry with us. Hello, David.
Good morning to Alan and Jill, my very good friends. Good morning, listeners. Good morning, spirits. Good morning, everybody, everything, everywhere.
Right, okay. Have we covered everything?
I hope we've
There's a weed in my garden. I can see it over there. I think he's heard you as well.
Well, it's a very good point. The philosopher Gurdjieff used to say, is all everything? Ha, ha, ha.
Yes.
That's lovely.
Indeed. Right. Now, as we've established that you've been asked and have agreed to get Julian's incredible life story onto stage. And what makes you, shall we say, want to do that? What do you see that fills you with inspiration? And that's not a pun, because we're on Inspirational Voices, about a project like that.
I'm a ruthless careerist that wants to make millions of pounds.
So untrue.
It is untrue, I promise everyone. The bishop thing I take rather seriously, actually. I have a reputation in experimental theatre, which began, I suppose, and was allied to in the 80s, when we were doing nothing apart from experimental theatre, it seems, if I look back, with sacred theatre. Now, most people are very primitive ideas about what sacred theatre actually is. You know, it's holy people doing holy things on a stage. Well, that's one version of it, but there are other versions of it. What used to intrigue me in those days, in fact, I've written some academic work about it, were two genres called the miracle story, or the miracle play, and the morality story, or the morality play. They seem to have started in Britain, actually. The Germans, as usual, are pretending it started over there, but actually the evidence strongly suggests it was actually a sort of British, whatever I mean by that, creation, and it grew out of Sunday service. It grew out of those times like Easter and Christmas when, remember, we're looking a long time ago, we're looking 1,000 years back, when, you know, the congregation wanted to engage with the stories, what was being said. They wanted to rub shoulders with the people in the stories, as it were. And the clergy, at least the more forward-thinking ones, thought, what a good idea. Classic theatre collapsed with the Roman Empire, so all of those wonderful playwrights, you know, the Greeks, the Romans, it took a long time for them to come back. But theatre itself never actually went away. It's just what people do. And in early Christian days, it came about again through the wonderful medium, as I say, of miracle plays, mystery plays, morality plays. The morality... Hello?
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 Hi.
Are you there?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we can hear you, David.
From your end, all of a sudden...
I don't know what happened there. No.
Right. That's weird. anyway, so morality plays were one of my passions. They still are. And getting to know Jill, I mean, I still find it incredibly intimidating meeting Jill. Like, you're my chump, you're my friend, but I do. Because you've had this incredible living morality play life. You know, it's the stuff of epic poetry, it's the material of natural drama, natural elevation. It's born for the theatre. So when I got to hear your story through Alan, of course, and then when I got to meet you, I realised I was dealing with a human being. I mean, that's incredibly important, and a very lovely human being.
Thank you.
Well, it's obviously true. and a caring one. That's the bit that, for me, that's always the big hook. Yes. You know, it's so easy nowadays not to care. And so when I meet a caring person, that always amazes me. And then I started looking, of course, at the materials in the book, a very well-constructed book, and thought, well, this is for the stage. And it's a modern morality drama. It's a modern morality play. So I felt curiously very at home. I was back all those years ago in the 80s, struggling with wonderful materials to present to audiences in a very engaging or challenging, sometimes both ways. And I felt, well, actually, I've been given a pot of gold because this is not only modern morality material, it's from real life. It's not from symbols, it's not from faith stories, it's not from myths. It's a real life version of that particular tale.
True, true. It is indeed, David. Thank you for that. But, you know, David, in your opinion, how does a stage show, how is a stage show different from an actual movie or a film? How would you describe that? What are the benefits that can come out of that?
Well, I think they're, you know, classically, they're radically different. They're totally different beasts. And certainly, I really hate Michael Caine talking about how he struggles with movies. No, you don't. Admit it. No, you don't. You know, the camera can really get close in and it looks at your face. Yes, and it can do it 100 times. You can die a death instantly on the living stage and people want their money back. the theatre is alive. No film at the end of the day is alive. One is looking passively at a silver screen. And maybe you're engaging with it, maybe you're not, maybe you like it, maybe you don't. It's a very passive process. Theatre is alive from the base all the way up, and it can explore, as I say, morality, I think, through living people, making mistakes on stage, interacting with stage, interacting with the audience. It can explore psychology. It can do things in minutiae, and it can do things on a grand scale, but in a different way to film, in front of living people. That's, for me, the great charge of theatre life.
Wonderful. You know, David, how can we effectively, I mean, you as a director, I've always wondered how this can be done, you know. How is it possible to summarize a person's life, in this case mine, into circa, say, about 30 years of my life, into 2 hours without sacrificing detail? Isn't that a skill in itself?
Oh, I certainly think that's a skill. I think film has much more trouble with that than theatre. I'll tell you, I went to see a play, the name escapes me, a couple of months ago, and it was gender theatre is meant to be blind at the moment in London. It's one of those new experimental movements, you know. Men can actually play women, women can play men, and I don't mean like pantomime. It's one of the experimental movements at the moment. It's called gender-blind theatre. It's actually very interesting. Most of the time it doesn't work, but sometimes it's interesting. This particular play, as I say, whose name escapes me, was the relationship of a mother and daughter played by two rather beefy men. So I thought at first it wasn't going to work. And their relationship over the years. And I noticed they'd managed to get the passing of time from one segment of life into another simply by the rushing around on stage suddenly stopping, the mother figure leaving the stage, and the daughter figure with her back to an audience simply, slowly, symbolically, carefully taking off a jumper. Wow. And everybody instantly knew it was 5 years later, it was 10 years later, whatever.
Oh, wow.
There's magic in theatre, and we have some very august friends, of course, in film, and with the deepest respect for them. There's magic in theatre that film can never reproduce. And that's an example of it.
And you know, David, that was exactly my next question to you, was like, you know, in a movie and in a story, it's the small detail, you know, that the little details that really matter. But how do you bring that out on stage, like in terms of facial expressions, etc.? You know, how do you do that? Isn't it harder to do on stage rather than, you know, in a movie, on screen?
I certainly think in some way, I think in some ways it's harder, but I mean, that's why people have opera glasses and stuff, and why the seating in theatre is so hotly contested, and why the stalls are better to sit for, you know, a closer view. excuse me, that said, you know, all sorts of things can be done nowadays. There can be screens behind the actors showing the moment of emotional transition. There can be lighting effects, spotlights, semi-wash, full-wash lighting that emphasises a particular moment. And again, you know, the magic is the audience feel a part of it. They don't feel alienated from it. So they're actually helping to create the effect.
Wow. You know, David, I was reading about, you know, when we first started talking about the stage show, etc., I was reading some reviews and, you know, stuff like that, and I know many people are still absolutely transfixed with just attending a theatre. I know all my bosses at RBS and stuff, they literally visit or, you know, go to a theatre every week or every second week. It's part of their lives. But I was also reading some reviews on the internet, David, where they say that during this age, you know, this internet age, isn't the stage a dying medium? You know, people would rather watch a 2-minute YouTube video rather than go to, you know, a theatre where it's quite uncomfortable for 2 or 3 hours. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely no. I mean, I'm sure bored teenagers sat in their bedrooms, who tend to be most of the voices one hears on the internet, never go to a theatre because they can't afford it. And get on with your A-levels and stop annoying everybody. No, I mean, it's nonsense. The theatres, think that the theatre industry makes untold millions of pounds every year. It's got huge access to tourism, of course. It tends to, in Britain, have an elitist reputation, which is I'm trying to destroy. Certainly in Spain it wouldn't. You know, the idea there is if you've got a couple of pesetas in your pocket, yes, even though I'm a guy that empties bins, yes, even though I'm a guy that sweeps the streets, of course I'm culturally engaged. I'll go and see the theatre. No, I mean, who can say that Cats wasn't a massive success? You know, who can say that The Railway Children wasn't a massive success? It's absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
I like people having trouble. I think you've got this artificial antiseptic attitude nowadays, and it's particularly in America, forgive me Americans, I'm not having a go, you know, where you've got the huge plasma screen and you don't have to worry about the woman with the hat sat in front of you or the guy with its strangely enormous head sat the other side from you, you know, but that's part of life. The whole point, the whole magic of theatre is it's alive, and when it happens, when it begins and you've got people coughing and sneezing and your seat's too big or your seat's too small, and then it opens, the curtains go up, the lights go up, the orchestra begins, you are literally in another world, and no antiseptic internet environment can ever do that.
I can just like to say about that, I remember years ago Anne and I went to the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton to see Woman in Black, and Frank Windsor was taking the, shall we say, the part where he was telling the story. And you can watch horror films on the TV, but I've never, ever been so frightened that I was in that Grand Theatre that evening. I was sitting on the end of a row. Anne was next to me. The auditorium went into pitch black, and there was these heavy drum sounds, really kind of made you chill, and then this white light at the back, and it happens to be down the row that I'm sitting on, and the woman in black comes whoosh right the way down, and a gown touched my arm, my left arm, and I mean, I had kittens as understatement. So, you know, theatre can be so much more alive than sitting watching.
Absolutely, Alan, you are so correct. It's honestly, it's as David said, it's a different world, you know, like when you watch Mamma Mia or Billy Elliot,
yeah,
or, you know, for kids, even Mary Poppins coming down in that basket. It's just incredible. But, you know, David, moving on, you know, a little short story in my book is how my mom, we used to run around the whole area where we lived in that little slum. And we used to go to all the tailor shops in the area and collect all these little rags, you know, when a tailor cuts a shirt or a trouser. And we used to collect all those little run, you know, like little rats under their tables and collect all these pieces of cloth and bring it home. And my mom used to sit and stitch all these duvets for us and our little coats. And I still have two coats, actually, that she stitched for us. I must bring it and show it to you.
Oh, and I'd be deeply honored.
And with that, she used to stitch, and we used to listen to Dolly Parton's song, you know, My Coat of Many Colors. And for us, it's remained with us. So it's so close to my heart. So I thought, during the break, David, we'll play that song. I don't really.
Oh, yes, an absolute must.
Yeah.
Thank
I'll put it on now. Lovely song.
Back to the seasons of my youth, and I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small. I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, sewing every piece with love. She made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. While Mama sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore. And then she said, I hope this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, blessed with the kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, I was rich as I could be. Holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors. Well, I hurried off to school just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. And my coat of many colors Mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand that, 'cause I felt I was rich. And then I told them of the love my mama sewed in every stitch. I even told him all that story Mama told me while she sewed, and why my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. They didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see. One is only poor, only if they choose to be.
Some music to move your soul? Then sit down, put your feet up, and start rocking with Doc. Check the schedule for airtime. That's Rocking with Doc with your host, Dr. Dave, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
Really strange sometimes, because off air we were talking partly about the importance of music, and it just dawned on me as the promo was playing, you know, if you want some music to rock your soul, so appropriate, isn't it, Jill?
Yes, it it actually puts a little bit of happiness back after that song, Alan, at least for me.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Good.
Yeah. But, okay. You know, moving on, David, tell us, what do you feel now that you know the story and, you know, we are moving forward with this? What do you feel could be some of the key messages that we could get through to the world?
Well, I'm going to have to be cheeky and say what we were saying to each other off air.
Please.
It's time for us all as a planet, as a society, as a species, as a series of cultural groups to grow up and make sure no child ever, anywhere in the world, faces the hardships you had to face, Jill. We've got to make sure it's hope for the young and a wake-up call for adults. No human child should ever have to endure the sort of deprivations you went through. It is a disgrace in the 21st century that weekends in London, binge drinking and brawling.
Yes.
Fine, do it. Let off steam. Have a 48-hour party. I'm no party pooper. Good luck to you. But not at the expense of children that have no food, no shelter, no support. No. It's time for us all to step up to the mark and make sure we mature spiritually as a species. And if I can get one message clearly, genetically imprinted into this production, it will be that.
Oh, that'll just be just a dream come through, David, because it's exactly what I always think and dream about. It's these key messages that are going to help so much. What do you think, Alan?
I totally agree. I was just thinking, I was listening to you, David, about, I don't want to get off onto what goes on all over the world, but I do feel that we are actually at a monumental stage in the human being's collective, shall we say, in evolvement. I think we're at a critical time where we can either make an incredible, brilliant difference to the world, or we can go down the into the abyss, and it's down to everybody to make sure that we don't go into the abyss. And I know the world is never going to be a utopia, but we can make it so it is a world that we can. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely to be able to get on an aeroplane, right, and go, okay, I'm going to go and visit Syria, I'm going to go and visit Iraq, I'm going to visit Afghanistan. Yeah. I'm going to go to Colombia, and there'll be no drug barons there. I'll be fine. Yeah, I'll go to Mexico just over the border, and I haven't got to worry about being shot or killed. I haven't got to worry if I open my mouth and people realise I'm English and my life's in danger in a different part of the world. If my skin's brown, black, or yellow, and I go somewhere else, am I going to be racially abused? Why does the world have to be like that? Anyway, that's my rant, David.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But you know,
you
having
can't
said,
beat a good rant. You can't.
Yeah.
Beat a good rant.
But you know, having said that, Alan, you know, when I get on an airplane, I always think, you know, I'm so incredibly lucky to be, you know, sitting here, going places, seeing other parts of the world, and my mind always, and my heart goes back to the little ones. Especially, obviously, from all my own study centers, and then to kids all over the world. You know, some of them, David, you have to think that some of them don't even have a dry crust of bread to put in their mouths, and it really hurts. It really hurts to be sitting there thinking of how, I don't know, in a way, how unjust and how unfair our world is.
I never say this world can't be a utopia. We don't know how far we can go until we try.
Yes.
At the moment, nobody's bloody trying. That's the problem.
That is.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can be a paradise on this planet. This is the footstool of the spirit. We can be anything we want if we start just caring about each other a tiny bit more.
Yes.
I must admit, that's on my mind a lot at the moment, because my partner in Gambia is having some trouble getting a relative, I don't want to personalise it too much, into hospital, because the relative doesn't have a certain amount of money and you have to pay on the point of access over there.
Yes.
I mean, we forget how privileged we all are And that's not to form a guilt trip. It's not to suddenly say, go and beat yourself up. No, no, no. Have a wonderful life. Everybody is entitled to a wonderful life. But that does mean everybody, not just the people that find themselves in a particular position because they were born in a particular country or in a particular city. And we are letting down, excuse me, the future of the entire human race. What would the world be like if we just made a friend in Africa or a friend in India? You know, so we never give to charity, but we have got a real friend who we look after over there and they look after us. The world would transform in a year.
Can I just say something about my journey back on Friday very quickly? Lots of times we go on a train, we sit there, we stare out the window, read a book, read a paper, don't bother about the people around it. And then sometimes something can happen which could turn into a nasty argument. I got on the train and there was this young guy who was just about to sit down in my reserve seat. And I said, oh, I think that's my seat. He said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, oh, I'll sit here, sat there. And after about 5 minutes, we started to talk. And we had an incredible... We was friends after 2 hours and we got back to Wolverhampton because he got off there as well. We were friends. Yeah. The time went so quickly. And I actually said to him, I said, if you hadn't have going to be sitting down in my seat, we wouldn't know each other. And but doesn't it show how you can turn a situation? It doesn't have to be confrontation. You can turn it round. And if you can do that everybody could do that in their life, just meeting somebody. They say that we're just five people away from knowing everybody in the world. So yeah. If we did that, surely to goodness, it'd make the world better, surely.
Well, I guess it all boils down to try a little kindness, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
It
does. You know, David, I had two or three more questions for you. You know, in our community, we have, you know, despite all the poverty and the hardship and everything that we've been through, not just me, but, you know, so many people across the world and in India and my community, actually, the Anglo-Indian community. And many of them, David, are so talented. They are wonderful singers, and Alan has, you know, talked to a few of them already. They're wonderful singers, they're wonderful musicians, all of that. David, just a quick question, you know, could we or how could we or more importantly, could we turn the stage show later or at the same time into something of a musical in order to extend its appeal?
Gosh, what a wonderful thought. I mean, it's too early in the planning stages to see where this will actually go in its sound.
Yeah.
But certainly, excuse me again, gosh, you know, it can be used as a medium to reach people in a number of ways, not just to entertain audiences. It can also be used to start workshops, to start people getting new skills, like how they audition properly, how they present a professional CV, how they get connected in theatre, film, TV. I mean, one has to remember there's something of a false dichotomy in people's minds between film, theatre and TV. Excuse me, you know, if a young actor comes to me through the audition process and I don't know them, I personally prefer working with people I know, but, you know, I want to build a troop because I can trust them, they can trust me and so on.
Yeah.
But if it's someone I don't know and I'm holding auditions, the first thing that will cross my mind is, right, okay, so you've got the theatre box ticked, why haven't you done an ad? Why aren't you trying to be on TV? Why don't you like film?
Yeah.
You know, because one has to be an across-the-board professional nowadays. So certainly what we could do with this project is also use it as a vehicle for skills development, and maybe certainly in India, where we can say, look, we have got access because of who we are to every single circle of media, entertainment and art. Let's help you prepare your own career, your own CV, your own skill sets to make a go of it. And that would certainly be a very exciting development for me.
That'd be great.
I just had a thought, you know, I mean, you can have, shall we say, a serious play, you can have a musical, you could even have both, and then certain parts of the world, like, because you've got Bollywood, where they're really into their musicals, the musical of your story could be focused in India and that type of thing. I don't know what seems.
Well, Alan, you know, because our community, obviously, many of us grew up in India, but we obviously grew up with British parentage.
Yes.
So, as you've talked to Terry and Gwen and all of these people, they actually eat and breathe rock and roll and rock music and country music.
Yes.
We are just born, I think every second person in our community loves to sing, are great musicians, and they love to dance. You know, and I think it was just a thought that came to mind that either we could put one act in or maybe have a separate musical, because honestly, Alan, you've got to see them, you know, at work. They really can turn in the crowds. They can really, you know, get to the hearts of an audience. They have the ability to do so.
You know, I'm desperate to break Bollywood. I'm desperate to break into Bollywood. I want to come out dancing with 50 women from a Hindu temple. I mean, you know, it's just like Busby Berkeley. You know, you get all these people doing formation dancing. I think that's absolutely incredible. I'll give you two a clue of what I'm plotting at the moment. Remember, musical isn't necessarily the same as musical theatre.
Yeah.
Musical theatre can actually be very serious.
Yes.
And it crossed my mind the other day after our meeting, this could be musical theatre. But more than that, I don't want to say at the minute, because I've got 1,000 ideas and I'll be presenting them to you two shortly anyway.
Okay.
So, you know, let it gestate.
So I'm just going to delete my next question, Alan. What do you think?
Go on then, all right.
Tell me. No.
Okay. I'm just going to delete that question. So no point going down that road. But even in your mind, what stage show could Indian English hope to emulate? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't have... Yes, we obviously have to aim at audiences, because there are different types of audience. But, you know, I think you're also looking at the generally informed and the informative with something like Indian English. It will obviously appeal to general British audiences. I suspect, and I know theatre isn't necessarily as big in certain parts of India as I'd like it to be. I think we can destroy that as well. Let's take community theatre to India and get absolutely as many people involved as we can. You've got the more spiritually minded in the morality play. If we go down the musical theatre route, you've got the music, you've got the strong story, and, you know, rags to riches, forgive me for speaking about you
no,
in that
it's
way,
the truth.
You've
it's
got the rags
truth,
to riches and the hope, a decent human being at the end, proving there's hope for all of us. You know, I can see nothing but it cross-fertilising a number of different groups with very different interests otherwise and general audience levels. I see nothing but a sparkling success in this.
And David, you know, most of our community have migrated to either England or Australia or New Zealand. And I think if it does go down the musical route, even part of it, I think we could draw audiences in by the thousands or millions maybe, because they have migrated all over the world now. So it'll be quite entertaining for them.
We're looking at a very big production here. We're not looking at small potatoes. And it's straight, Adam will love this, but it's strange, but psychically we're picking up the musical element here. I think that's odd.
Yeah.
Because as I say, it was after the meeting that evening, I suddenly thought, you can actually have classic musical theatre here. And, you know, I wasn't even going to say that until I'm emailing everybody next week. But, you know, very strange.
Well,
amazing that we're all on the same page.
Well, God the universe listens in, and I do feel that certain energies get different things to be talked about, because they're meant. That's the way I look at it anyway.
Yep. I certainly think if we're looking at Central Asia, which of course is my catchment area, as it were, you know, they're very open to musical theatre. That they love that, and they will love this story. As I was repeatedly saying the other day, this is the type of story the whole nation of Kazakhstan will flock to, because they appreciate difficult beginnings. You keep hold of your faith, you keep hold of your humanity, and you keep going. I think we're looking at gigantic audience numbers here. And, you know, we can do it in large, spectacular chandelier theatres, and we can also take it as community to the community theatre to humble villages that maybe have never seen anything like it before. That's the beauty of this particular story.
Yes, I sure agree. You know, David, we are coming to the end of the show, but I must tell you a little bit, and I think you already read the book, but the last song that we have is again, you know, by Dolly Parton, and it's Chicken Every Sunday. And the reason why this song is so close to my heart again is because, you know, when you're young in school and you have a boyfriend, and, you know, I had a boyfriend in school, and every time I used to walk with him, he used to tell me to walk opposite the road and not walk with him. And one day, we went to the movies together, and he held my hand, but he just dropped it because my hands were too rough. Because I, you know, in India you have to clean your dishes with a a patta. You know what's a patta, David? It's like it's like a green leaf, a dried green leaf, right? So you take that leaf and you put ash, which they use in the ovens there. You put that, and with that you clean your dishes. Right. So we used to use our hands to clean our dishes. So obviously my hands were too rough. So when he held my hand, he just dropped it like a hot coal, you know. So, and then he wouldn't want to be seen with me everywhere. And so I used to go home and say to my dad, like, what's wrong with me? Is there anything wrong with me? Have I done anything? Why am I like this? Why doesn't he want to be seen with me? And my dad used to say, look, sit down. I can get into the history with you, and I can tell you things that you probably don't want to know. But just sit down and listen to me. And after you listen to the song, you will never feel hurt or worried or inferior in any way again. And he used to make us listen to this Dolly Parton song, Chicken, every Sunday. So, Alan, let's play the song for David. If you have other questions, otherwise we can even end the show on the song.
Right. I'd just like to say, first of all, David, it's always a pleasure to talk to you on the radio. I think today we've actually talked about things that, shall we say, you talk about privately, but it was meant for other people to listen, and I think that's very important. And I'm really looking forward, just over an hour, we'll be back on the air together with Sunday Morning Spiritual. So I'm looking forward to that. And I want to say, Jill, it's so lovely to have you back as my co-host.
thank you, Alan. thank you, David. I'm looking forward to this whole exciting experience with you.
So, yeah, so...
We're at the beginning of a very long journey, and it's going to be a hell of a ride.
So
very exciting at the top.
Until next week for Inspirational Voices, I want to say thank you for listening, and have a brilliant Sunday.
Just because all my dresses are just cotton hand-me-downs, his family calls me the lower class. 'Cause we're only poor folks on the other side of town. You're just as good as him. Just because they got that big house sitting way up on a hill, why, you don't have to look up to them. We got chicken every Sunday, and the preacher comes around, and every Saturday morning Daddy takes us all to town. And we go to the picture show, have picnics on the ground. Boy, if that's the Lord, what I am. 'Cause my mama don't belong
good for him. Just because they got money and a big fine house, why we won't take no sass off of them. We got chicken every Sunday and the preacher comes around, and every Saturday morning my daddy takes us all to town. And we go to the picture show, have picnics on the ground. Boy, if that's the lower class, then I'm glad that's what I am. We got chicken every Sunday and the preacher